All right, let's open our Bibles back into James. We're in the third chapter, and we left off, right there about the 12th verse. And, you know, sometimes when you're thinking about things with the Lord, and you're thinking, okay, we're going to get here, and we're going to get there, and, you know, the Spirit just kind of comes in and says, well, do you want to be quiet and learn something, or and let me give you something, or are you going to have big thoughts and plans? So, God willing, we're going to get through the third chapter tonight, and that's all I'll say. But it's just so mighty. And, you know, last week we were encouraged in the Lord so much to go on by grace through faith and to grow up into that perfect man. And I just am so thankful to God that we don't have to be shy and coy about these things. We know the Scriptures, and we know because the Word of God wants us to know. It's God's will for us to know, to be filled with all that knowledge of Him. Not a bunch of know-it-alls. It's we know that He knows, and in knowing Him and that He knows, we know that He has given Himself fully and completely to us. He said, let this mind be in you that was also in me. I can't even comprehend that mind. I could never even achieve to that, even remotely compare, even get close to it. But He's such a gracious God, He said, I'll give it to you. If you want it, I will give it to you. If you have a desire, by God's grace, ask for the desire, I will give that to you. There's nothing more that He wants than for you to grow up into Him in all things. Isn't that just awesome? There's nothing more that He wants than for you to have His absolute and complete best, to win Him. Everyone. And this is ours. And this is what God has given us quickened ears and hearts for. But back there in verse 2, it says that we could grow into that perfect man, that fully mature, completed, walking testimony of Christ in me, the hope of glory. Not me, of who I am, the works that I could do, like so many, and it's just not the people. We know it's not flesh and blood. It's just the enemy that want to twist this. But Christ in me. Christ in me, the hope of glory. It's all due Him, the only good thing in us. We understand. No double-minded talk, no bitterness, no strife or envying. Just as it says in that 11th verse, and I love that. That sweet water fountain. Just coming out of us. The sweet water fountain. Edifying the body of Christ. That glorifies the Lord with comely speech. Out of the abundance of a heart full of love. Man, you talk about power. Isn't that awesome? The power of love. The power of the love of God. It's so amazing. That loves through anything. That loves through everything. Love so beyond us. We just stand back and watch it happen. Say, thank you, Jesus. I know that's not me. I know that couldn't be me. It's got to be you and you alone. So let's go ahead and pick it up in the 13th verse, and we'll go ahead and read it all the way through. So the third chapter of James, 13th verse. Who is a wise man and endued with knowledge among you? Let him show out of a good conversation his works with meekness of wisdom. But if ye have bitter envying and strife in your hearts, glory not, and lie not against the truth. This wisdom descendeth not from above, but is earthly, sensual, devilish. For where envying and strife is, there is confusion and every evil work. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, and easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Now the wise man endued with knowledge there in the 13th verse. God help us to listen to this tonight, because this is stuff we should be praying for our lives, to grow up into that perfect man that the Lord wants us to grow into. Reading this reminds me of 2 Chronicles chapter 2 verse 12. You write that down, but what it's speaking of there is Solomon. It was God's vessel, Solomon, God's vessel, who was endued with wisdom and prudence and understanding to build the house of the Lord. Now think of that. He was endued with that. God gave it to him. He didn't know anything about it. But God gave it to him. Now you think of who we are to Christ. You think about what this temple is and that temple is and that temple is and what he wants it to grow into. A masterpiece if we'll let him. And you think of the endued power and wisdom that he's given us by his Spirit. And blessed us with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Completely fortified, completely given every provision, brothers and sisters. And if we will just yield to it and take it. Can you imagine the glory house that we can become to the Lord? How about parts of a city, a holy Jerusalem, descending from heaven, having the glory of God? Amazing stuff. You think about what we have been called to. How great, a better thing for us. How wonderful and marvelous to have the honor and the privilege to be called to build the house of God. But how wonderful and privileged to be built into the holy Jerusalem of God. The bride, the Lamb's wife. Get you thinking, doesn't it? Praise his name. Now, this word, conversation here in this 13th verse. It's a sweet word, but it goes far beyond just our tongue. We talked a lot about the tongue last week. How precious to give that over to God, and how vile if the enemy is going to control it. But this word conversation goes much further than the tongue. It's your lifestyle. It's your living. It's your complete testimony, brothers and sisters. And let's be endued or saturated with the spirit of an expert teacher full of experience. And that's what that word wise man means. An expert teacher full of experience. Experience with what? Experience with Jesus. They took note of them because they had been with Jesus. They knew that. There was something different about them. You've been with Jesus? They'll take note of you. One way or another, they're going to take note of you. They're either going to love you or they're going to hate you. They're either going to embrace you or they're going to despise you. It's not you. I hope it's not you. But it's Christ in you. Praise his name. That's when we know we're suffering for his sake if it goes that way. But this is walking with God. This is when the word working effectually allows us to know and to live grace. And you think about this expert teacher, because I know many of us would sit here tonight and say, well, I'm no teacher. I don't know how to teach. No, it's not just with this mouth. More importantly, it's our conversation, our lifestyle, our living. Are we living Christ in me, the hope of glory? That's the greatest teaching we could ever do. Being the example. Don't just do as I say. By God's grace, I pray that you would do as I do. You see what I'm saying? As parents, you think about in our home. We can preach, we can all of these types of things. But if our kids are seeing things that we're doing that are against or opposite of what we're telling them, what do you think they're going to look at? Believe you me, they're going to look at your actions. They're going to look at your life. We understand that talk is cheap. I don't even want to go into that. But pretty much that's what that is. But brothers and sisters, as we go on with this, notice there it says his works. There in that 13th verse, his works. And I want you to really just let the Lord take this. It's not my works, they're his works. And the reason I know this is his work, somebody'd say, oh, well, no, brother, this is talking about that person's works. No. It's got to be God's work, because the end of this tells us what that work is. Meek and wise. See, only God could be meek and wise. The only thing I could be is proud and foolish. So we know that this has to be the working of God. If we're going to submit to the word of God, we know he is the only wise. We know he is the only one that is meek. And I'm talking about God the Son. How precious our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, who has been made to us wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. everything. We got it all. All in Christ. Now, but if we're going to choose not to allow this grace of wisdom and meekness, and rather have a bitter, envying, full of strife heart, what God is telling us, shut your mouth. Just shut your mouth. Be still. Don't go on in deceitfulness and glorying about something that's not there. See, God is looking, brothers and sisters, for sincerity. And let me tell you something, He knows it. And if our hearts are not right, at least by God's grace, let's be real before the Lord. And God help us to not put on a show of deceitfulness. And if we will go before the Lord in that way, if we will be still before the Lord when we're having these issues of heart, He'll heal you. He will heal you. But if we're going to go on in a defiant way and we're going to try to make it in our deceitfulness, in our lies, you're going to stay right there. And it won't change. It just won't. You see, the wisdom from the emotions of the enemy, as we go on to this 15th verse, only bring forth sensual and devilish or earthly things. And brothers and sisters, in spirit, the body picks it up right away. And I'm talking about the glorious body, not in judgment, but in discernment, and discernment to pray. Because there's no sincerity of the truth. We've all been there and done this. We try to bend the truth, but you can't. You can't. You can try to use it to your advantage, but it won't allow it. His word in truth, in love, exposes the falsehoods. And it especially exposes it to His children. Because He loves you too much. He will expose it to you. And all I can ask you and plead, as I do before the Lord for my own self, is to be tender to accept the correction of God. Lord, just help me to be real before You. Help me to break. Help me to be sincere. That's when you're going to get somewhere with God. It's so wonderful. The freedom. When He just... you come clean, I guess, whatever you want to say. He already knows you're naked before Him. He knew that thought before He set a star in heaven. He knew the trial you're going to face and the trouble you're going to have with it. He's there, isn't He? He's touched with that infirmity, isn't He? Praise God. So, man, he's just so beyond. But see, the devil, he leads away from these things. And the devil always breeds envying and anxiety, unstable minds. He often fills them with jealousy. And then that word strife. Strife in the Greek means to desire to promote self. Isn't that something? The desire to promote me, to put me out there. So when we are self-centered, when we are self-serving, when we are self-indulged, God help us that there be no doubt. The author of that is one and one only, and that's the author of confusion. And Lucifer himself is playing the song that we're following if we're going that way. It is obvious. That's why I'm just loving as the Lord is, in His Spirit, is just bringing this word and this truth, the refiner's fire. The cutting away, brothers and sisters, this word is so profitable to us. And God help us not to just pass over. I don't know. I'm thankful for anybody that comes to a Bible study, but I know that maybe some, oh, that's James. I kind of been there, done that. Don't really want to hear that. I'm telling you, I want to win him. And James is part of winning him. It is. Praise the Lord. It's all profitable. Now, the result every time when we follow the enemy, we understand, and the word makes it very clear here in verse 16, are evil works. Lust conceives and sin begins reigning. And know this, brothers and sisters, an evil work is anything that does not give God the glory. Anything. Just know it. Know it, and that settles it. And the only protection that we have against it is always having the all-sufficiency in all things to superabound. I love that, superabound, to every good work. And you know what that is? That's the Word of God. That's the Word of God. It enables us for everything. Praise His name. Believing the Word of God gives us faith. And you couldn't believe the Word of God without love. And faith worketh by love. And just knowing how much He loves us, we get into this Word, and it's so wonderful how it works so effectually in us. And that's what verse 16 and 17 bring here. The eight glories of bridal wisdom. And let's go ahead and read those again there in verse 17. But the wisdom that is from above is first pure, then peaceable, gentle, easy to be entreated, full of mercy and good fruits, without partiality and without hypocrisy. And how precious that this bridal wisdom, brothers and sisters, this is evidenced in us and through us if we will yield to this precious grace. That's what this is. The faith without works is the working of faith. And faith works and is given only by grace. It's the grace of God. It's His love working in us. And notice here first that it's pure. So right there we know that His wisdom is the Word of God. The only thing that is pure is the Word of God. Proverbs 35 says, every word of God is pure. Psalms 12:6 tells us, the words of the Lord are pure words, as silver tried in a furnace of earth, purified seven times. And how pure and how precious are our words, brothers and sisters. They're His words when we are vessels filled with all the fullness of God. That our speech is comely. It's the Word of God. Our speech and the things that we share, they're thoughts of God. It all relates back to the Lord. This is who we are. Isn't it amazing how opposite we are from this world? When you get to having a conversation with somebody that you may have liked to have a conversation with, but they're not of God at all, and the thoughts that they have and the way that they think, and you just sit there and you go, thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. That's chaos right there. That's anxiety, unrest. It's death. It's death. Now, you want that life to know Christ, but thanks be to God that I know you. Lord, thanks be to God that I'm seated together with you in the heavens right now. Thanks be to God, I don't worry about what's going on here. I don't need to be entangled with the things of this earth. I want to fly out of here at the first trump. I don't want any weights. Lay aside every single one of them. I don't want to miss one moment face to face that could have been gleaned. Praise be to God. Now, then it goes on to say, how precious are, then it's peaceable. Peaceable. Peaceable means no strife. So there's no self in there, is there? Isn't that wonderful? See, when I put myself in a situation, peace just went. It gone. This self, that self, that self, every self here doesn't know peace. There's no peace in natural man. There isn't. We're talking the peace that passes all understanding, brothers and sisters. But there's no strife. There's no envy. There's no contention. And isn't it wonderful, it says here, that it causes us to seek peace, to want peace, and to speak peace. And you think about the peace that we have. As the Lord said, I'm giving you mine. My peace I give unto you. Think about the peace that we have. Peace with God and by his grace too, I pray, the peace of God. So this is the peace that by his grace is exuded through us in our speech, in our lifestyle. As people say, how can you be like that with all that that's going on? I pray we glory in the Lord. I pray we glory in the Lord. What else are you going to do? It gets down to that, isn't it? Well, I can't do anything else by his grace. I can't change this situation. He's got to get us there often, doesn't he? I just want to get there more quickly. The full overcomer, the full quickly overcomer in Christ. I don't want to sit there very long. Lord, let me realize. It's that deep breath, deep prayer. Thank you, Jesus. Amen. You know what I'm talking about, brothers and sisters. But he brings us there by his grace that I've got this. I've got them all, but I've got this one. Because this is the one facing you right now. I got it. It's perfect. It's foreordained. It's part of them good works. I told you, you're going to walk through these. I'm going to be your strength, your guide. I'm a lamp unto your feet. You're never alone. I'm carrying you. I'm carrying you. Oh, hallelujah. You're not doing a thing. Just look into my face. The escape's already been made. Trust my word. Trust my word. Got a sermon coming. That's the only thing trying us. It ain't the trial. It's the word. Praise God. But the red flag moments, brothers and sisters, are words that would provoke anything but peace. And truly here, what this is getting at too is provoking peace among the brethren. So be attentive. God set a watch before my mouth, but the watch is encouraging myself and the Lord to understand these things. When those things start to happen, God, stop that. I have peace with God. I have the peace of God. I have Christ Jesus in me. I don't need to be doing this. Knock this off. That's not who Christ in me is. That's not who I am. Because I am is in me. I love him. Praise God. Now, a heart full of peace then has a companion. Gentleness. Isn't that wonderful? And how precious it is not to be harsh or hard. Isn't that wonderful? Aren't you thankful to be tender? It's such a waste of time and energy to be hard and harsh. It just wears you out. You feel bad. How do I know? I got experience in it. I do. You don't sleep well. Toss and turn. It's just ugly. I like the alternative. How about you? He sure is patient with us, isn't he? I'm sure him and God just laugh sometimes and smile. Not laughing at us, but just, you know, when you're with your family and your loved ones and you're just, it's like the boys sometimes. I see him kind of struggling with something. I'm thinking, it don't need to be that way. I kind of laugh with my wife. How long are we going to laugh before we put our hand in there? You know, so praise his name. But this is a spirit, this gentleness, brothers and sisters, that truly magnifies the Lord. Gentleness has meekness written all over it. And what a precious work in believing God that comes through in believing him for that gentleness. And then easy to be entreated. That means easy to obey. See, the wisdom from above obeys the word of God. Because it is the word of God. It's his spirit. And it's easy to be obeyed. It turns not to the right. It turns not to the left. It's his mind. That's the wisdom he gives us. That's the only way we can have this wisdom, is because it's his life. We've been rejoicing in that for some time now, isn't it? To think of that. To really believe that. His life lives in me. That's why I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. And not from the outside. He's in here. He's in me. Praise God. And that's what's so wonderful. That's the power of God, that Holy Spirit that grows that life up, that gives boldness in that life, confidence, praise His name, that we know that He is for us and that He lives in us. So it turns not to the right or to the left. It stayed on a straight course, and the evidence of wisdom is a vessel that yields to God, that believes Him and holds His precious truth dear to heart. Now, I think I hear a horn. So one of the brethren might check on that. All right. I don't want it to distract you. It's not distracting me. Now, full of mercy. This full of mercy is unmerited favor. Dwelling in godly wisdom. Dwelling in godly wisdom, brothers and sisters, in this full of mercy state, it just makes you love everybody. You see what I'm saying? See, His mercy is given to us. His love, His grace. And in that, we receive that mercy. We live that mercy. Believe it or not, we do. It's His life. It's unmerited favor. I'm not looking for what you can do for me to do something good to you. I just love you. And the Word of God even says, even do good to them that despitefully use you. Now, what a body we are. This is a body by God's grace, part of it. I'm hoping that we win Him. Every life here, I pray. This is why God has compelled me to preach the word of His grace. I want you to win Him. I want to win Him. I want to win Him with you. Till we all come impressed upon my heart. I'm doing it all for me. See, somebody's holding out, huh? No. But He just loves us. But see, it's not withholding anything against each other. It's forgetting all the past ills. See, that's His mercy. Forgetting those things which are behind and running in love. And you talk about a testimony that no one could deny is love and mercy. Isn't that wonderful? It's love and mercy. You think about the saints that you do highly esteem because of Christ in them. It's because of the love of God. They're lovers. They're amazing because of the love of God. It's not the knowledge. Mm-mm. It's the knowledge of His love. It is. That's the standout. I've said it many times, and I believe it's true. He does want you to grow in all of that knowledge. But brothers and sisters, it's not what you know, it's what you live. It's what you live. I could recite all these things. I could have the tongue of men and angels, it says. I could have all knowledge. I could have faith to move mountains. I give all to the poor. But if I have not love, I have nothing. But boy, if I have love with it. Whew. Now we're growing up, huh? Now we're growing up. Praise God. All right. So, that's some Philadelphia stuff. And then the good fruits. The before ordained good works that we should walk therein. See, these are the precious works of faith in us. And see, only the Word of God working effectually in us could bring this out, couldn't it? Think of that. Only the Word of God working effectually in us could ever bring out a good work. And why is that? Because we don't have any good works in us naturally, do we? Huh? Only by and through the Word of His grace can we be built up in anything in Christ, and especially built up and given an inheritance among all them that are sanctified. See, the Word, as the Word of God tells us, is layered in our lives, isn't it? It's layered line upon line and precept upon precept and here a little and there a little. And what is that? That's the word. And faith comes by hearing and hearing by the word of God. And the works of faith come from nowhere else but this word working in us and then coming forth from us. It's the word of God. That's the good work. That's the work of faith. That's it. That's the evidence. And faith worketh by love and all of those things and that connection that comes all through there that makes us vessels of honor and glory, pleasing to Him. Even a wife that adds to the usefulness of the husband. You talk about a vessel. That vessel that's just set away to Him. As Brother Hill used to call it, the mustache cup. It's only for Him. I don't know if necessarily you want to think of the bride as that, but it's only for Him. So I get it, and I'm sure you do too. All right, now, number 7, without partiality. This word partiality means that there's no uncertainty in His wisdom. There's no doubt. The evidence of glory is a bold walk. We believe Him. You think about the things we believe. I was with my kids last night. I said, you know, there's such precious truths, but 4 of the wondrous truths that we glory in this meeting is we're saved by the blood. Amen. And we're kept by the blood. There's nothing that can separate us from the love of God. It's grace. And then the infilling of the Holy Spirit, evidence to speaking in tongues. It is a separate experience. It's a vessel that's been ignited to grow. Now can be led into all truth. We know. And then in that, there is a bride. And that bride is not the whole church. It's a separate body. A company awaiting. Expecting, anticipating, that has apprehended Him, that is loving His appearing. A company that is not ashamed to hold that fast which Thou hast, that no man take my crown. And I am one to say here, I don't believe the bride cast the crown. The elders do, but not that bride. All right. I'm not trying to cause fights. But I do profess His love. Now, so there's no doubting. There's no feigning here. It's just undeterred faith in the glorious wisdom. See, we just know that God's word is right. And it's always right. And we know that He said it. And I want to have faith like a child and just believe it. It's just so... Where do we want to stop? I don't want to stop. Well, if it wasn't hard for Him to speak the universe into what it is, if it wasn't hard for Him to take a virgin and have her become pregnant, if it wasn't hard for Him to actually then that pregnancy be the Son of God, well, I'm right there. I'm just, well, there couldn't be anything hard for Him. And I'm believing Him that it can't be hard for Him to make the likes of me to grow up to be part of His bride. What's hard for Him? There's nothing too hard for God. There's nothing hard for God. It's just, it's a precious statement because it's the word of God. But it's just, it's a beyond statement because He is God. So. And then finally, hypocrisy. Here it is back to sincerity again. There's no pretending. This life is consistent. That's the testimony in the life of a saint, I believe, that's a full overcomer in Christ. She's consistent. This is the wisdom. This is the experience. This is the testimony. This life has no pretending. It's the same yesterday, today, and forever. Not because of anything that she did, but all because of his life. She yields so much to his life that it's him, that you see him. Now, don't get me wrong. As we read last week in James, we do make mistakes. We do falter. But there's an underlying love that responds quickly, that there's not a reigning of darkness. There's not a leading away of the enemy. There's not this up and down continually. There's a constant because there's a heart after God's very own heart. Brother David showed us that in a full overcomer in the Old Testament. Sit there as those 24 elders, rejoicing like you can't imagine. But no, not going to partake in the bride. A better thing for you. A better thing for you. Now finally, we have arrived at verse 18. And the fruit of righteousness is sown in peace of them that make peace. Sounds pretty good to me. It sounds pretty obvious. But praise God, we'll maybe allow the Spirit to take us down a couple layers in this. But this is the perfect man. This is, again, that peace with God and the peace of God we're talking about. This is my peace I leave unto you. That's the peace by God's grace that I hope we is exuded in our life. But Matthew 5:9 says, blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. See, there's a testimony there. They know they'd been with Jesus. You know? And they'd try to provoke you. They'll try to do a lot of different things. I was coaching in a basketball tournament this past weekend. And we won that tournament, praise the Lord. I like to do that. I'm not out there to lose. And it was a lot of fun. But that team we beat in the final was not happy. And matter of fact, they were incensed. And incensed to the point of basic ready to be, you know, fighting. And there was a gentleman that came over, and big man, and poked me very hard in the chest. And I would say 10, 15 years ago, I would have been incensed, outraged. You touched me, how, you know, that type of thing. And honestly, I didn't feel a thing. See, that's just a testimony to the Lord. No fear. There was no fear. Absolutely none. And not because maybe in my day I could have done a little something. But in this day, no. But there wasn't anything. Never said a word, didn't do anything except coach that team by God's grace, and I believe lived a testimony. But it showed that there was an incensed, just in that, of a type to come after that, see. But by God's grace, there was just a peace. And actually, too, the only thing I felt sorry for him, because I thought, you know, these are kids, we've had a good time, everybody played hard, it was close game. There's no reason to get out of shape about this, you know. You know, but see, you reap what you sow. You reap what you sow. And those things are going to be presented to us all of our lives. And people would have said, well, you had every reason to react. But what would have that sow? That wasn't peace that I would have sown. A good punch in the face or whatever it would. It would have incensed maybe more people to be part of the unrest. And it would have. But that's what God does. And that's just an example of that. But I'm talking about in our meeting. How a kind answer, a soft answer, just turns away the wrath. See, the enemy wants us to be used, that poison tongue, to provoke and to get that reaction. And see, when our minds are led away with the enemy, if we want to go that way, we're going to serve either God or mammon. We can be used to some awful, wicked things. And I've seen people that say, oh, they're born like that. They had a dad like that. They had a mom like that. And that's why they're like that. That's a bunch of bunk. You're before the Lord alone. And there's no apple tree syndrome here. You've been grafted in. You've been grafted in. Know who you are in Christ. Break free from that. Don't be labeled. Don't be just, oh, well, you're like this. This is who you are. No, this is who you are. This is who you are. Gifts? You've been blessed with all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. Okay? No, know this. So, we reap what we sow. We sow to the flesh, we're going to reap to the flesh. And you reap to the flesh, it's going to be death. Whatever you put there in that flesh is going to, it's dead. You know that. It was worthless. It had no testimony. It was basically spiritually dead. But we sow to this precious spirit. Oh my goodness. And the everlasting glories that we live right now. It's wonderful to serve the Lord. There's just it's a privilege. It's an honor. And you talk about a peace. It's such a wonderful peace, isn't it? Hallelujah. To receive the grace of God, to seek His peace, to sow His peace, and in every aspect of our lives. We're good at picking places where we want to sow peace. Because those are our comfortable places to do it. But then there's the hardened places in the heart that say, I'm not going to sow peace there. It's not right. That person did me this way. Or I have a fear about that, so I have to hide that. Call it whatever. I could stand here and we could go on and on and on and on and on about these. Just understand, you're standing naked before Him. Get out of the fetal position and just stand there. It's true. And rejoice and dance before Him. David did. He said, thank you, Lord. You know me. You're searching me. Hallelujah. God had to show him over and over in his failures. Paul said it like this, oh, wretched man that I am. Always, but for you. So let's just keep on the searching. Let me be tender to come in sincerity before you. To say, Lord, I need help. And I need help now. And I need help with this. But this is the runner with the shoes shod with the gospel of Christ. We know that we can't even begin to run without those shoes. So if we want to sow anything, if we want to sow anything but peace, and if that's the intent of our heart to sow anything but peace, we need to understand that we're not running to win Him. We're not. We are not running to win Him. The winner has got the shoes of the gospel of peace. And the fruit of righteousness are evident. And don't be misled about this peace, though, brothers and sisters. See, a lot of people think, well, I'm sowing this peace, so it's going to be like this lotus land of ease. See, and God's got this vision of peace. Oh, no, 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 no. We're talking a furnace. And you're going to walk in here. And He's got this vision of this huge storm and all of this stuff going on. And this little bird in this cleft of the rock. That's God's peace. We're going to close this up with Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. He had me jot this down. And I know we're going a little bit longer, but I pray that we'll be in tune to what He wants. But Hebrews chapter 12, verse 11. Can you imagine? No chastening for the present seems to be joyous, but grievous. Nevertheless, afterward, it yieldeth the peaceable fruit of righteousness unto them which are exercised thereby. See, that means ones that will allow the Lord and start praising Him in the trial. Say, Lord, I get this. I'm not going to say this is joyous, but... There's a joy unspeakable still there that's holding me. Praise God. Wherefore lift up the hands which hang down and the feeble knees and make straight paths for your feet. See that bridal cherubim's always there with them straight feet. Look at that. It's all over here. Lest that which is lame be turned out of the way. See, there's a mark for the prize and lame feet can't get there. But let it rather be healed. See, let it be healed. Follow peace with all men. And holiness, without which no man shall see the Lord, looking diligently, lest any man fail of the grace of God, lest any root of bitterness springing up trouble you, and thereby many be defiled. See, not just you, but the body. See, don't just think about yourself in this too. Be quickened. We're one in Christ. I don't want to hurt you. By God's grace, I do not want to hurt you. And that's Christ in me. That's not me. My natural man would hurt you all over the place, and you to me too. But Christ in us does not want to defile this body. We want to nurture and edify till we all come. I want to rejoice with you on an altar saying, I do. Amen. Praise be to God. That's what this is. That's the vision that God puts in our hearts. But brothers and sisters, what this is saying here, it is the trials that produce this fruit of righteousness, this peaceable fruit, this peace that we have with all men. We're being exercised by it. When we stand in the wisdom of God, these things are magnified in us. And this peace that he's talking about is peace of suffer with me and you'll reign with me. Suffer together with me and you'll be glorified together with me. The peace of God. So you have to understand going through Ephesians to even begin to understand James. I really believe it. To understand the plan of God that sets this in such a perfect place in the bridal heart. And the evidence of it. I'm seeing it more and more. I'm thankful to him. This storm will rage, but the peace that passes all understanding, it keeps settling us and establishing us, doesn't it? And what is the fruit of righteousness? It's everything of Christ. It's just everything of Christ. It's endless. In the ages to come, it's his life. It's his benefits. It's all the spiritual blessings in the heavens in Christ. It's wisdom, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption. And the last thing the Lord's encouraged me to say, well, then how do I know, brother? How do I know that I'm in this? Well, he put this on my heart. Sanctification. So separated from the pull, the cares, and the thoughts of this world. So peaceful that we're ready to be redeemed at any moment. Amen? Amen. Let's stand and be dismissed. Thank you, Jesus. Brother Cass, would you dismiss us?